Life Audio.
Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. On today's episode, I wanted to talk about God, the intelligent designer. God, the intelligent designer. And after a word from our sponsors, we'll get started on the topic today.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And this concept of God, the intelligent designer, conveys the idea that God, he is a rational being. He is a God of order. He's a God not of chaos, but a God of unity and a God of precision and intentionality. And this topic is brought up and discussed during our annual Apologetics Boot Camp for Christian students. If you're in the northern Sacramento area, we invite you to register sixth grade all the way up to adults. We will have classes and breakout sessions dealing with different topics, including God the Intelligent Designer. So please go on our website that's specifically created for the boot camp. abcsac.org, www.abcsac.org, and register online. So if you are an adult listening to the show, please register and join us on April 27th from 9 to 11:30 a.m. at the St. Paul Church of Sacramento. So please join us again on April 27th. From 9 to 11:30 a.m. at the St. Paul Church of Sacramento. Go on the website for the boot camp, abcsac.org, abcsac.org, and you'll get more information on the boot camp. But for our episode today, I wanted to highlight this concept of God, the intelligent designer. So the reality is our children, especially our young adults, our youth, they are facing many opposing worldviews. And these worldviews are suggesting and recommending an alternative belief system. So instead of believing in God, they want to believe in atheism. They want our youth to believe in rationalism. They want our youth to believe in humanism, agnosticism, deism, and theism. The world is trying to tell our young people that God does not exist and that we evolved into our present situation and reality. But we as Christians, we must push back and educate ourselves in God's truth. So atheism pushed back by arguing that God does not exist. Agnosticism argues that there's not enough evidence for them to conclude that God exists. Deism says God existed, but he's left it up to us to run our own lives. Theism says, I believe in a God, but not necessarily Yahweh or Jehovah. So these are different worldviews. And in an attempt to explain the meaning of worldview, a Christian apologist, the late Dr. Norman Geisler, wrote, a worldview is how one views or interprets reality. The German word means a world and life view or paradigm. It is the framework through which or by which one makes sense of the data of life. And that is Norman Geisler's Baker Encyclopedia of Christian Apologetics. 2000 is the publishing date. So again, a worldview is the lens by which you and I see the world. So if I believe that in atheism, then I'm living my life without God being responsible for anything, because in my view, he didn't create anything. And you have people that live that way. If I live with the lens of skepticism, then I can be like an agnostic saying, I do see some evidence, but it's not enough to take me over the top for me to accept Jesus Christ or as Lord and Savior, or even God as being a reality. So Christians, we should have a worldview based on a biblical paradigm. And we need to tell our young people that glorifying God is what it's all about, whether they're at home or at school. And then John reminds us in 1 John 4:1, he says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And that is true. We have so many churches, organizations, ministers, pastors, elders who have twisted God's truth for their own pleasure. They've twisted God's truth and created a new theology while still using it, the label of Christianity. We have to be careful. So the truth is multiple worldviews are alive everywhere. As we see in Romans 1:18-20, Paul writes the following. He says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So Paul is saying it's not an issue of apprehension or comprehension. They apprehend, but they are suppressing the truth. They're pushing it down. They're fighting back in their own carnality. They see that God exists, but they don't want any part of him. They see the evidence for Jesus Christ, but they're not willing to accept it. So it's not an issue of apprehension. They apprehend the truth, but they're not willing to accept it. But because God has given them a fair chance, they will be left without an excuse. Because God has given them an invitation for them to ask the why, and they still refuse to ask the why, they will be left without an excuse. And by the why, I mean, Paul is saying right there in the first chapter that God used nature as an invitation or a calling card for those who see the wondrous works, the mighty works, to ask the question, how did all of this get here? And by asking that question, it moves us to ask the why, who, what, when, where. It leads us to ask these questions. And if we're sincere, if we are open, then we will run into God by knowing or reacting to the invitation. Ultimately, we're going to run into God. And when we ask about God, we're going to consequentially run into the Savior who gives us a key to know the real and authentic God. So when we reject God, even though we apprehend, even though we comprehend, we, in a sense, are rejecting his overture of love and method to get saved. So when attempting to prove the existence for God through reasoning, many Christians have relied on the following arguments, such as the cosmological argument, which uses the law of causality. Basically, this law says that something caused the cosmos to come into existence. Since everything finite was caused by something else, the universe had a cause, who we call God and who we call the intelligent designer. Then there's the moral law argument. And this argument states that the moral law implies there is a moral lawgiver. Let us take a break to recognize our sponsors, and we'll be right back. In God, there's an objective moral law giver. Therefore, there is a moral law giver. Thirdly, and finally, the teleological argument argues from the perspective of design to an intelligent designer who created everything. For example, William Paley's watchmaker example. So basically, William Paley used this analysis or analogy where he says, if you were to stumble upon a watch, and the watch has the gears that makes it function, you see all the complexities of the watch, it will make little sense to say that watch just became and landed there on its own without anybody creating the watch. Who was the watchmaker? That's what William Paley's arguing. The person that created all the gears, the person that put the minute hand, the hour hand inside the watch, the one that constructed all of the tools and all of the gears, he is the intelligent designer of that watch. He's saying the same way, when you look at nature is even more complex than a watch that you discover somewhere. The watch is complex, but nature is even more complex. And he says, because a watch, if you found a watch, it would demand for you to know that somebody created that watch because of the amount of specificity and intelligence that went into it. In the same way, nature is even more complex. It's even more intelligent. It's even more specific in terms of its specificity. And that should cause us to ask, how did all this come about? It had to be someone with intelligence that created nature. This is why many theologians use the term God, the intelligent designer, because we serve an intelligent God. We serve a God who's able to create with specificity and not random chance. We serve a God that's able to create complex things. We serve a God that is precise. So when we talk about nature, we, in a sense, talking about something God has made, and we see how complex nature is. Then if you've heard of the phrase intelligent designer, you think about the theory that argued that the universe has specific features that can be best explained only by an intelligent designer versus an undirected process such as natural selection, which evolutionists promote. Please note that the intelligent design movement is not the same as creationism. Creationists argue first from the scriptures, but proponents of the intelligent design theory argue first from empirical data. And eventually many of them arrive at creationism. So empirical evidence is information that comes from observation or experimentation. Intelligent design proponents argue that our universe contains unique characteristics or features that prove our existence is not random or by chance, but through precise intelligence. The foundation of the intelligent design argument is rooted in two key terms. The terms complexity and specificity. Supporters argue if something has a high level of specificity as well as complexity, it demonstrates there is intelligence involved. The specificity cannot be imposed on the object. It has to be genuine. So basically, it's almost like when they write about putting a monkey on a typewriter and the monkey starts typing and they may get a word or two correct, but you can't impose human intelligence in that scenario because the monkey just doesn't have human intelligence. It has a primate intelligence. So complexity is specified complexity, which refers to objects or events that are uncommon. Example, Mount Rushmore. Specificity or specified information refers to objects or events that follow a unique pattern, such as DNA. So, for example, Mount Rushmore is an example of an intelligent design. It would not make sense for someone to argue that it was naturally created without intelligence. You can see the specificity. You can see the complexity. So when you look at Mount Rushmore, you know that someone created it. It just wasn't a natural event. So when we look at biology also reflects an intelligent designer. There's something called in our bodies bacterial flagellum, which supports the argument for an intelligent designer. A flagellum is a long thing, bacterial. The flagellum is responsible for the movements of the bacterial inside the body. The most intriguing aspect of the bacterial flagellum is its design. It contains coded biological language that tells it what to do. It is constructed like a motor and composed of at least 40 separate parts, and it's inside of our bodies. The high level of complexity and specificity further proves that the intelligent agent is behind our biology. So in order to further prove this point regarding the bacterial flagellum, apologist J. Warner Wallace writes the following. As we examine the complex structure of the flagellum, chance alone seems an unlikely explanation, particularly when over 40 separate pieces are required to create this motor. So 40 separate pieces are required to create this motor that's found inside of our bodies. So specificity and complexity. So we see God's handiwork. In addition, each cell in your body is built like a machine. The parts work together to accomplish specific tasks. Did you know a cell has individual areas assigned to do different work? It's almost like a workshop where multiple areas are used for different things. So, for example, mitochondria are surrounded by two different membranes. So a mitochondrion can be thought of as containing four separate sections. The space inside of the inner membranes and the outer membrane itself. Counting membranes and interior spaces, there are more than 20 different sections in a cell. It didn't get there by accident. That was placed there by God, the intelligent designer. If the cell is that complex, it seems illogical to claim that it came about through random chance. It is more reasonable to infer that it was created intentionally rather than pure luck. Number two, the origins of life. The coding found in our DNA cannot be answered through naturalism. The sequencing found in DNA patterns show a high level of complexity and specificity. Scientists have found information stored in the DNA. This means someone placed that information in the coding of our DNA, which causes it to perform its specific duties. The structure of DNA is made up of nucleotides, and these nucleotides are arranged in a similar way to computer programming. Proteins are produced due to the programming or coding that is stored in the DNA. In regards to the complexity of the DNA, scientist Stephen Meyer wrote the following. He says, DNA stores the assembly instructions for building the many crucial proteins and protein machines that service and maintain even the most primitive one-cell organisms. It follows that building a living cell in the first place requires assembly instructions stored in DNA or some equivalent molecules. So again, God put this information there. It wasn't didn't get there by random chance like evolutionists purports. No, this is God's handiwork due to the level of complexity. Physics and cosmology. The first tuned aspects of the universe demonstrates a high level of complexity and specificity. In his book, The Case for a Creator, Christian author Lee Strobel wrote the following. He says, many scientists have been impressed by something called anthropic principle. The term, which comes from the Greek word anthros for man, basically means that the universe has everything we need to live. So in other words, that the universe is fine-tuned for human existence. God created it in the way that's so fine-tuned that we can live in it. So when we talk about the fine-tuning, let's look at some of the arguments for God being the intelligent designer. Number one, the Earth's environment is appropriate for you and I to live in. The crust of the Earth is perfectly designed. If it was thicker, it would affect the amount of oxygen in the atmosphere. On the other hand, if it was thinner, it would cause tectonic plates to shift. In short, Earth's environment is perfectly suited for human beings. Number two, the position of the Earth in relation to the sun is ideal. If we were minutely further away from the sun, it would affect our climate. In other words, if Earth was positioned slightly, it would be either too hot or cold for us to live in. Number three, the Earth's location in relation to the moon is also perfect. The moon is positioned in a way to help Earth. The moon helps to deflect asteroids away from the Earth. Furthermore, the moon aid Earth's inhabitants in making sense of days and years when trying to create a calendar. So these are arguments for the fine-tuning of the Earth. And if it's fine-tuned, that means that an intelligent designer is required in order to fine-tune it. And this is why we call God the intelligent designer, because he's created everything in its, and placed it in its right place. Fishes have their right environment to live in. If they were to come on land, they would die. Likewise, if human beings went into the depths of the ocean where a lot of the crustaceans exist, we couldn't make it. We would die, run out of energy. So everything is in its proper orbit. And God designed it that way. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't by random chance. It was due to an intelligent designer who we call God, who sent his darling Jesus Christ to demonstrate that he still loves us and wants a relationship with us. So information like this can be ascertained or gained by coming to the Apologetics Boot Camp for Christian students and parents and any adults that want to attend. Again, this year's boot camp is Saturday, April 27th, 9 to 11:30 a.m. I want to see you there. We are going to be in Sacramento at the St. Paul Church of Sacramento. We want you to get your tickets. Go online to abcsac.org. You can obtain your tickets as well as learn more information about the boot camp. It's so important that you and I prepare ourselves for this 21st century in defending the faith and arguing for Jesus Christ from a rational perspective. Our children need to know how to stand up boldly for Jesus while at school. Our children need to know the relationship between faith and science. And remember, the boot camp at this point is for sixth grade all the way up to college, all the way up to young adults, to adults. We have breakout sessions for them. Then we have a treat this year. We're going to partner with our local bank, and they're going to work with us in teaching our children finances. If you look at the research, many of our children are not good stewards of their finances. So in order for them not to get in unnecessary debt, we're going to have a few minutes working with them with the partnership of our local bank to help them to become better stewards of God's money. So please sign them up. We're looking forward to seeing all of you. For those who are coming from out of town, we would love to see you. For those of you close by, we would love to see you. We just want to make sure that we worship God with our mind, not just our heart and soul, but that we worship God with our minds. And we will have so many different topics, God, the intelligent designer, and how arguments for God through biology, arguments for God through archaeology. We just have so much information that will be available on that day, as well as there'll be giveaways for your children as well as yourself to partake in. We're looking forward to seeing you. And remember, as I always say, remember to do for the truth what so many people do for a lie. May the Lord continue to bless you.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies.
This is Chris Christensen, and back in 2006, I started a simple project. A project to try and introduce more people to the Bible through Bible study called the Bible Study Podcast. It's a simple name and a simple idea. Each week, every week, we study one chapter of the Bible, talk about what it says, and what that might mean for us today. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for the Bible Study Podcast on your favorite podcast app.